Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. We want to welcome you to another edition of the program brought to you by the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ right here in Springfield, Tennessee. And my name is Chris Reeves. I'm the host of the Bible Speak program. This morning, we want to talk about three tests of faith. God allows our faith to be tested to see what kind of a follower we will be. Will we be dedicated to Him? Will we be committed to Him? Will we be pure in our living? Will we be mature in our living and in our service to Him? We're going to look at Abraham, the Old Testament character Abraham, and how that God tested him in three ways. And we're going to see that we are tested in the same three ways. Abraham was given these three tests over a period of about 100 years. And we're going to find that we have the same tests in our life. God allows our faith to be tested to see what kind of a follower we will be. And that's what we want to look at this morning. We're glad that you've joined us. Get your Bible out and join us for this edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3, the proverb writer says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but Jehovah trieth the hearts." Just like metals are put in a fiery furnace to separate the silver and the gold from the impurities, so God tests and tries our hearts to see what kind of faith we have. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 26 in verse 2, the psalmist there says something very similar. Psalm 26 in verse 2, "Examine me, O Jehovah, and prove me. Try or test my heart and my mind." And so God does that to see what kind of a person we're going to be. And we're going to look at the example of Abraham. So if you'll turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith, Old Testament characters that had faith. If you'll turn with me there, we're going to look at the story of Abraham and look at those three tests. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham to leave his country and become a sojourner, and he would be a father of many faithful people that would become the Israelites, and through him Jesus Christ would come. But it would be a life of faith and a life of tests. We're going to read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 about the first test of Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, the Hebrew writer says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing whether he went." The latter part of Genesis 11, the first part of Genesis 12, God calls Abraham to leave the city Ur of the Chaldees over in Old Testament Babylon area, New Testament Iran and Iraq. And he left that metropolitan city to journey up the Tigris-Euphrates Valley up to Haran, and then come back down into Palestine and live in tents. He left his home and city and to become a follower of God. The first test is to leave and never go back home. Sometimes when God tests our faith, He's asking us to leave some things that we might be comfortable with. But Abraham was to leave. And we notice in verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive." He didn't hesitate. He did what God told him to do. First of all, Abraham left his home in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, as we've just mentioned. He left the Ur of the Chaldees. He traveled up northward into Haran and then back down southward into Palestine. He left his religion. Joshua tells us in Joshua 24, verses 2 and 3, that Abraham left his gods and his idols and his way of life, that his religious way of life that he would have gained in his homeland of Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham left and never went back. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 15 and 16, "And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they had went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." He's talking about the heavenly home. The heavenly country is heaven. and the city that God is preparing is our home in heaven. And when he says they, he's talking about Abraham and Sarah and the other Old Testament patriarchs. And they did not want to go back. They had plenty of opportunity, but their mind was not set on that. And so they were willing to leave and never go back home. We're going to make some applications for our life in just a minute later on in this morning's lesson. But let's look at the other two tests of faith. First of all, Abraham was told to leave something that was precious and dear to him. And that is a test. And he did that very thing. The second thing is that the second test is that he would have to wait patiently for the promises that God gave him to come true. Let's start reading in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. God gave Abraham some promises, and that his family would be great, and that his people would inherit the land of Canaan, and that through him all the nations would be blessed. This is applied to Jesus Christ. But Abraham would have to wait patiently to begin to see some of these promises come true. He was not given them immediately. He was not given them the day that he left or the next day that he went out. And so the first test is to leave and not go back. The second test is to wait patiently for what God promises us. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9, by faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Wherefore also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the heaven of the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And so the text says in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They kept trusting in God. They kept doing what God said, even though they did not physically own the land that God said that they would one day have. They did not physically see all of the Israelites that would come from them, from Abraham and Sarah. They died before that time came. They did not see the coming of Jesus Christ, but they accepted all of these promises by faith. And the text is very clear with regard to Sarah in verse 11, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Abraham and Sarah believed that God would keep his word. God was faithful. He was trustworthy to keep his promises. And so the second test of faith is to patiently wait for promises to come true. Abraham was a sojourner. In Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 8, Stephen talks about this in his sermon there in Jerusalem. He had to wander about in the land of Canaan before these promises were ever given. Abraham had to wait, for example, 25 years for Isaac to come. We know how old Abraham was. He was about 75 years old when he left, and about 100 years old when Isaac was born. Genesis 15, 1 through 6, and then 13 through 16. He had to wait 25 years. He was already an old man, and God said that from him, many people would be born. And just for Isaac to be born, he had to wait 25 years. Abraham did not personally see the land promise. He did not personally see the nation promise. He did not personally see the seed promise, which was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 3. But yet he had faith that God would keep his promises. Jesus said that Abraham saw my day, John 8, verse 56. John 8, verse 56. And so they died in faith, trusting that God would fulfill the promises. And so that is a great testimony to a person's trust and faith in God's Word. The third test that we find is the test to obey even when it is hard. First of all, they obeyed to go out from their homeland. That would be hard. It would be hard to leave home and leave your idolatrous religion behind. That's the way you were raised. It would be hard to do other things. When Abraham, you can read the story of Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. You start reading the story there, 12, 13, 14, 15, all the way through a good part of the book of Genesis. For example, in Genesis chapter 14, he had to fight a war in order to rescue his nephew, Lot. He had to learn to trust God that his son would come through Sarah, not through his handmaid Hagar. He had to learn to trust God, Genesis 15, 16, and 17. In Genesis chapter 18 and 19, when he went to rescue Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, there, it was hard to deal with great wickedness there, and he pled with God that he would spare Sodom and Gomorrah, but God said that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness, and part of that was homosexuality, an activity that today is condoned and commended and applauded by many. That was great wickedness. And Abraham had to go there and rescue his son Lot. It was hard to deal with things that are in the world, and Abraham had to do that very thing. And then it was hard to sacrifice his own son. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, let's read verses 17 through 19 now. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith Abraham, being tried or tested, offered up Isaac. Yea, he that had gladly received the promises was offering up his own son, even he to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he also did in a figure receive him back. Right after God gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac, when he was a young man, God said, take him away, sacrifice him, kill him. And this was a test of Abraham's faith. We read in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did prove or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went up in the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went together. And they came to a place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac upon the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel Jehovah called out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, with me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket with thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day, in the mount of Jehovah it shall be provided. And the angel of Jehovah called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith Jehovah, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thee. Thy seed shall be as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, what we find is the faithful obedience of Abraham. And that would have been hard. He lifted up that knife, and when he went to slay his son, the angel stopped him, and God provided another sacrifice. And so we find that Abraham is obedient. And that's the very thing that he is commended for. If you turn with me in the book of James, the New Testament book of James, in James chapter 2, it tells us that faith is obedient. So many people today talk about faith only, and that we don't have to do anything to be saved. We just accept Jesus as our personal Savior. But faith in the Old and New Testament is something that shows itself in obedient works to God. And so we find in James chapter 2, verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren or dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. So, Abraham had a faith that showed itself in works, and James says, by works was his faith made perfect or complete. We do not have a perfect or complete faith until it shows itself in obedience. And so, three tests of Abraham. Leave and never go back. Number two, patiently wait for promises to come true. And number three, obey even when it is hard to do so. Let's make those applications and those tests to our life today, friend. Are you willing to undergo these tests and be faithful to God? Number one, leave and never go back. When we become a Christian, we need to leave some things in order to come to Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 69 that any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. We might need to leave a sinful life and not go back. We might need to leave an unscriptural relationship. Sometimes we're in a marriage relationship or a relationship of fornication, a sexual relationship outside of marriage. We need to leave that. We don't have a right to be joined to this person. We need to truly repent and leave. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." Repent means to turn around 180 degrees and go back the opposite way. And we need to leave some things. We might need to leave a bad habit. We might need to leave drugs and alcohol and other kinds of things that are ruining our lives. Leave. We're better for it, friend, and you will be blessed if you do. We might need to leave and break off fellowship from those things that are in the world that are keeping us from being a light and keeping us from being a faithful Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and following, Paul told Christians to stay away from those things that are going to make them be in the wrong company, and the same would be true with anyone. Have no fellowship with the unrighteous things, Paul says. What fellowship has righteousness with iniquity or sin? What communion has light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement hath a temple of God with idols? Come out, touch no unclean thing. Come out, and I will receive you, Paul says in a few verses later. So we might need to break fellowship with those things in the world that are causing problems. And we might need to leave a former manner of life, and that might even include a particular religion that is not according to the New Testament. I think about the Apostle Paul when he was Saul before he became a Christian. He was willing to leave his former manner of life, and it was a very good life, and he was religious, but it was under the Old Testament Jewish law, and now under Christ he needed to become a Christian and leave that Judaism behind and become a Christian. And that's the very thing that he did. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Howbeit, what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming conformed unto His death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He left that old Jewish religion and manner of life behind so that he could obey Jesus Christ and become a Christian. And that's what makes Paul such a great example. So, are you willing to leave a former manner of life, even if it is a religious manner of life, but that which is not according to the New Testament church and the New Testament gospel, leave it behind. Number two, the second test is to patiently wait for promises to come true. When we become a Christian, we are given a number of different promises. One promise is that we'll have remission of sins, and that's immediate. When we are baptized into Christ, immediately our sins are washed away. Acts 22, verse 16. We have forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And so that is immediate. We leave that old man of sin behind in the water, and when we come up, we're immediately a new creature in Christ. But there are other promises that we have to patiently wait for. What about the promise of answered prayer? God will answer our prayer, Ephesians 6 and verse 18. We need to pray, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We have to pray and persevere and wait for God to answer that prayer. We have to patiently wait for justice sometimes. We see all kinds of injustice in the world where people do bad things and wrong things and they get by with it, and often nobody is going to do anything about it, and even our so-called justice system sometimes won't do things about it. But we read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, 18, 19, 20, that we need to give place for the wrath of God. Vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord. We're not to render to any man evil for evil, but we are to let God have His place and His time, and He'll certainly do that in the judgment day. We need to patiently endure suffering. Sometimes we have to suffer for the cause of Christ, and we have to patiently endure that. People will say things and do things to us, and we have to take it patiently. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, we are buffeted or persecuted for the cause of Christ, and we need to take that patiently. We need to patiently wait for Jesus' return and His reward from heaven. One day He's going to come again and reward us for the things that we have done in the body. Romans 2 and verse 7, Galatians 6 and verse 9, we will reap if we faint not. And so Jesus is coming again, but we have to patiently wait for his return. That is not, we don't know when he's going to come. He could come this very hour. He tells us that he's going to come as a thief in the night. He's not going to announce that. But if he were to wait, we would need to patiently live faithfully for him to return. And then finally, test number 3, we need to obey even when it is hard. Sometimes obeying the gospel can be hard for someone because they have to leave family and they have to leave sin and they have to leave wrong relationships. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, that if we love mother or father, son or daughter more than Jesus, we're not worthy of Jesus. We have to put him first. We have to strive to enter in and obey the gospel. Luke 13, 23 through 24. It takes some effort to repent of our sins and turn our back on that old way of life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, there were some that had to leave some very terrible things. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, some were homosexuals, some were adulterers, some were thieves or covetousness, extortioners. People stopped doing that in Corinth. They came out of that. They obeyed the gospel. Some turned from idolatry and sinful things. 1 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 10. That can be hard. It can be hard for people to come out of a religion that they were raised in that is not right with God. There's all kinds of man-made religions, and it can be very hard to come out, and especially if your family stays in that religion. And yet, we've learned from Abraham that sometimes obedience is hard, but it's a test to see if we will do that very thing. Are you passing the test, friend? You know, doing the Lord's work, standing for what is right, can be hard. Doing the Lord's work sometimes can be hard. Confessing our sins, James chapter 5, verse 16, sometimes is hard. Standing for truth, Jude verse 3, sometimes this can be hard. Abraham did it, and we can do it too, friend. Abraham is praised for his obedient faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11 that many will come and sit down with Abraham in the kingdom of heaven. He is going to be in heaven because he passed these tests. You too, friend, can be in heaven with him and all the other righteous if you will simply leave and never go back to that sinful way of life. Patiently wait for the promises that God has for you and obey even when it is hard. Paul tells us that we are to walk in the steps of faithful Abraham. We will be tested in the same way that he was. Let us walk in those same tests. Let us pass the test today. Will you pass the test, friend? If we can help you to leave and not go back, to patiently wait for promises and to obey even when it is hard, if we can help you to do that, please contact us. We're at the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ, 2509 Memorial Boulevard in Springfield, Tennessee. Let's sit down. Let's study God's Word. Let us do those things that God would have for us and be faithful to the end and gain the reward that He has for us. Thank you for listening this morning and have a good day.